From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Welcome to the 2017 Dice Men Cometh Awards! And the nominees are... Ah, oh, stuff the nominees! Let's just get to the winner! The winner of 2017 Game of the Year is Pandemic Legacy Season 2!
Pandemic Legacy!
What? Sorry, guys, it's Munchkin Monopoly Legacy.
Oh, no!
What, did you have the wrong envelope or something, did you?
Oh, blame Warren.
Okay.
But anyway, welcome to the Dice Men Cometh. It is episode 155.
Oh, yeah.
On Thursday, the 2nd of March already. It's autumn, boys.
My God.
Now, what have we got on the show tonight?
We have got a whole lot of stuff going on. We've got a couple of what we've been playing is actually a couple of different games. We've got Kickstarter, of course, because there's never enough places to spend your money. In fact, I think I'm going to take over the whole show with Kickstarter. I've got notes and notes and notes and notes and notes and notes. Kickstarter is just going off.
But not only that, we have a super secret, awesome bit of surprising news that we're going to throw into the show at some point, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Well, let's get started, Trent. What have you got for us?
Yep, it's Trent, it's Mark, it's Garth, it's the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the delicate sounds of zeal and ardour. I can't see no devil. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that sound great?
That was pretty cool, actually.
Right, that's...
Not really like anything I've heard before.
It's Zeal and Ardour is the name of the band, and it's from their new album, which is coming out, Devil Is Fine. It's a band born... Oh, sorry, quick digression. It's a band born from a 4chan forum chat.
What?
Right.
Really?
Yeah, like, okay, and we all know what a sewer...
Yeah.
4chan is on the internet. So it's a sewer inside a sewer, right? And it's born of a conversation, and I'm going to say a really racist word here, okay? But this is a quote from an interview from the singer in Zeal and Ardour. It was a suggested mix of black metal and, quote, nigger music.
Wow.
So it's that chain gang chant, and that's not a sample. That's performed live.
Wow.
Mixed with the black metal, and that is the kind of stuff that you can only hear on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, which is also the only place where you'll hear a show about board games and card games.
Yeah,
which is what we're doing now. The Dice Men Cometh, and it's also a radio station that deserves your support because of those two reasons. And so much more. And if you want to support Edge Radio, they've actually got a little bit of a competition happening at the moment. If you jump onto the website, edgeradio.org.au/subscribe.
Freudian slip there, I think.
And if you do subscribe and support Edge Radio, then you'll go into the draw to win a couple of tickets to Day on the Lawn to see Boy and the Bear and the Preachers at the Botanical Gardens coming up in late March on the 26th. That competition closes on the 10th. Get online, edgeradio.org.au, and subscribe to support Edge Radio and indirectly the Dice Men Cometh.
Of course.
Now talking about the board games, what we've been playing lately.
Absolutely, and what we have been playing lately, or one of the games we've been playing lately, is called Islebound.
It is.
By Ryan Lockett and Red Raven Games.
Is it like stuck in the aisle when you're queuing for something? Is that what it...
Yeah, it's the Woolworth Simulator.
Right. I can see that.
No, isn't that the queuing, the Polish queuing game?
Kaleka?
Kaleka, yeah.
Hey, we did play a Polish queuing game. It was fantastic.
I own it.
You own it.
I own a copy of it, Trent.
It's a collector's item.
Really? Oh, I better go home and put it on eBay.
That's the game that simulates what it's like to be in
1980s Poland,
Soviet Poland. Yeah, queuing for groceries.
Anyway, this is not that. Right. This is not being stuck in the dairy aisle. This is to do with islands and the fact that you are bound on an island, and therefore you want to go out and explore other islands. We're bound on this island here in Tasmania.
Speak for yourself.
And Ryan Lockett, of course, very well-known designer. I guess he's most well-known for Above and Below.
Yes.
And the similarly named Near and Far.
Yeah, although he has done 8 Minute Empire and City of Iron and
Empires of the Void.
Yes,
and I'll talk about that. Yes.
I played City of Iron. That was a big Kickstarter from quite a few years ago.
Yes.
It was a sort of steampunk themed game.
Yep.
Jeez, it was awful.
So he's been busy, is Ryan. And one of the other things about all his games, oh, I think all of them, is he is the game designer and the artist and the graphic designer. He basically does it all himself. And I know there have been some complaints. This has led to a sameness about his games. And I will say with Islebound, it did have a lot of similarities in the look to... Above and Below, which I had played before. But then I noted very cleverly, and we'll get into a bit more about Islebound in the moment, but the characters in Islebound, if you flip them over, they're little tokens, if you flip them over, they then become expansion characters for Above and Below, which is quite clever.
Well, it is clever. It's also cheap. So anyway, let's talk about this game. Let's talk about Islebound by Ryan Lockett, who I must admit I thought his name was Ryan Lowcat for quite a long time until Ian O'Toole at PAX mentioned it's just Ryan Lockett.
There you go. So there you go.
G'day, Ian.
So look, this is a world where you are setting sail in a mythical archipelago, not playing archipelago, filled with bustling towns, sea monsters, pirates and gold. You will all compete to build the best seafaring nation with up to 3 friends, or 3 enemies, or 3 dice men, or 3 acquaintances, or 3 loved ones, or any 3 people that you choose to play with. And you will be collecting treasure, you'll be hiring crew, and you'll be conquering or befriending a whole bunch of those little island towns. And you're right, anyone who has seen any of Ryan Lockett's games will be immediately familiar with the art style.
Who's done it, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and which is not a bad thing because, you know, it is quite eye-catching.
Yeah.
The colour palette and the look of the, particularly like the people, in this case it's crew. You have crew on your boats as you're travelling around. Now, don't forget, Garth, you do also have to get wood and get fish.
Yes.
And
that's about it, really.
Yeah.
Because there's no possible jokes that you could make in relation to that. Sorry, moving on.
No. So, look, everyone's going to start in their own little corner of the map, and the map is a very modular board.
Yeah.
It's made up of a whole bunch of double-sided board technology where every player will start in a different corner of a quite an oddly shaped board because it's half a dozen pieces.
They're
that
sort of rhombuses, rhomboid shapes.
But the good thing is about them, they... in their double-sided nature, essentially have an A and a B side, or a basic and an advanced side, depending on your level of game knowledge or just the style of game that you want to play, whether it be that cruisy Sunday morning slash afternoon game or that cutthroat game that you really want to get to a winner with.
The Saturday night with too many beers game.
Something along those lines. And it's very simple. You're going to start with your own little crew. You'll have 2 crew on board. You'll have a ship that you'll be moving from various island to island. And essentially, you're only going to be doing a couple of different things. You're either going to attack each place that you want to try and, I guess, get resources from, or you're going to do the action that relates to that. And you're just going to keep going and going and going.
Yeah, so basically each island has a different, if you like, special ability you can do. And they give you access to things like soldiers, which you can use to attack other islands, or sea monsters, which you can use to attack other islands, or the aforementioned fish and wood.
Yep.
Some of them will give you let you recruit extra crew, and having more crew means you can get more stuff. And a lot of the times you're then turning your wood and fish and crew members into other things, which eventually gets you points.
Yeah, well, it's all about getting renown. It's all about getting that renown, which is i.e. victory points, and you will certainly do that by cashing in your fish and your wood to get cards that will give you more renown when you do certain things.
And there's mission cards as well.
Yeah, so anyone who has played any of Ryan's other games will be pretty immediately familiar with the style of the game as well. It is certainly not a complex game, and we really don't need to go into rules because we already have and they're done, which is great. Now, Trenton, you've not played this one, and I'm unsure whether you've actually played any of Ryan's games.
I have played City of Iron.
Okay.
So that's quite a few years ago now. Might have even been his first game, or certainly an early one.
Yeah, and I'm sure you played 8 Minute Empire, but you probably don't remember that 8 minutes because it was probably about 2-3 years ago, maybe. That's literally how long it takes.
2-3 beers in as well. So, they haven't made a good impression so far. The art style looks familiar. I remember City of Iron was at the time a combination of deck building and that kind of tableau. It might have even been a joint tableau that people were playing cards onto. And at the time, it was quite a strange mix of mechanics. But, of course, now, it's par for the course.
Well, we played Above and Below at BorderCon, Garth.
We did.
And I know it was certainly one of the highlights of my BorderCon. I think Leon, who, of course, is absent tonight, not well, and we hope you do get better, Leon. I think it was his...
Game of the BorderCon.
That's right. He immediately went out and bought it, and of course we haven't played it since.
No, but
he has.
It was a fantastic game, and we were able to play it with five of us. There was Sui who was with us, and another guy whose name escapes me at the moment. But it was a perfect at the right time of day because it was our Sunday morning game, and we all walked away from Above and Below going, that was a great game. It was kind of like Tales of the Arabian Nights, but it had a bit more cartoony art, and it was a good little adventure.
That storytelling element, which this doesn't have, and this, I don't know. Look, this is, you know, moving around, ostensibly on different spots that give different actions and different access to stuff. I know I did feel like the getting the fish and wood and then turning the fish and wood into something else felt a bit unnecessary because it was like getting a primary resource, turning it into a secondary resource, then using that to get a card, which then gave you points. It was like one too many steps, and the game looks like and feels like it should play relatively quickly, but I felt like it didn't play that quickly.
No, it didn't, and it sort of reached a point where you just went, is this it?
Yeah.
There isn't a huge amount of progression within the game, and it's not to say that that's a bad thing. It's just that it probably outstays its welcome for me, because you can look at beautiful art and some good design for a little while, but at the end of the day, you're here for the mechanics and you're here for the crunch, and for me, it's certainly about how I can interact with other players and what have you. And it just, look, it's that nice game that certainly would appeal to a lot of players. But for me, it's certainly not at that same level as Above and Beyond, Above and Below. What I did like about it, though, is the fact that you could go and take over an island. And I really did enjoy that, because when you took over an island, you would gain resources when any other player would go to that island. And I did like the fact that you could get your sea monsters and charge them into battle.
How are other players using the island that you've taken over?
Well, every
that
island
sounds like a thematic sort of mistake.
Look, just think of it. You've got the island that is best at catching fish, and you've got the island that is where the ship arrives. It has all the soldiers that are ready for hire. And every island has a certain, I guess, benefit for going to it. And you'll just be tootling around this little archipelago and going from place to place, ultimately trying to get yourself some more renown, some more resources to turn them into other bits and pieces that'll ultimately get a bit of an engine running, because there are those cards that you can buy, some of which only if you've accrued enough books. And they will give you little bonuses every time something happens. Like, you might get more renown if someone else takes over your island, or if you're able to take a certain number of islands over, or whatever the case may be. I certainly don't think this is the same caliber as Above and Beyond, Above and Below. It is a beautiful game, but I think there may be a bit of a concern, because Ryan is a fantastic Kickstarter success story, I guess. Let me give you a bit of information. And I must say, I wasn't meant to be on the show. I'm filling in for Leon, which is a great privilege. So I am going to read a bit of notes that Leon so expertly prepared. So, Ryan Lockett, you've already mentioned some of the games he's done. He has had 13 successful Kickstarted games in 5 years. Empire of the Void version 1, 651 backers. Near and Far, 7,245 backers, which is his last successful Kickstarter. So a little bit of growth.
And Near and Far was the sequel to Above and Below?
It's in the same vein. Again, similar to a lot of the...
And the next one is called Hither and Yon?
Yeah, something along those lines. Let me continue. Empires of the Void version 2, which Mark, no doubt you will talk about in your little Kickstarter break, has 2,085 backers in the 1 week that it's been going at the time of Leon doing this statistics.
Wow.
So he has been able to generate a very large and seemingly very loyal customer base, which from a Kickstarter is absolutely
priceless because you can rely on these people to just throw money at you.
He's trustworthy. He'll deliver you a product on time.
He's clearly done all those things, which is great. However, that only goes so far for me because we need to be able to enjoy the games that we're playing. And in a business where there is so much competition out there, I don't think you need to own this and own above and be below at the same time.
You can certainly see, though, why he is a Kickstarter darling, because these games look really, really nice. The graphic design illustration is, I don't want to say second to none, but look, it's right up there. And when he goes to Kickstarter, he's got these finished artworks there. So he's got that pedigree there for sure that will get him the backers. And look, I guess at the end of the day, if he sells the games, and then if people, not necessarily all the same people, come back and buy the next one, well, you know, he's doing something
right.
Speak
for itself.
So, look, in conclusion, I haven't played this, but there's it looks attractive, but there's nothing in this from what you've said that really compels me to play it. Looking at the picture of Ryan, he's only a young bloke, so he's obviously got many, many more years of this ahead of him. Good on him for the success that he's had. This is obviously for somebody, though.
Yeah.
Who would you recommend this game for?
I reckon this is their good entry-level gaming, but my concern is still that it goes longer than it needs to, because a lot of games, they start slow and they build up and they become really, really exciting, and you run out of, I don't have the time to do all the decisions I want to make, and then it ends. And this doesn't have that.
Yeah, I'd say if you look at this and think, wow, I'd really like to try it, try above and below first.
Correct.
And probably stick with that.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Play above and below. That's our review of Islebound on the Dice Man Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Hey, speaking of Kickstarter, it's going off.
I'll say there is so much happening on Kickstarter.
We're going to go through all of it, every single thing on there in excruciating detail. Next on the Dice Man Cometh.
Soon.
There more spoons.
The sound of some double standards from the Flange Panties and Better Off by the Ocean Party. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM. This is the Dice Man Cometh with Trent, Mark and Garth. There's an awful lot happening on Kickstarter, but we're actually not going to talk about that right now. Instead, we're going to be talking about more of what we've been playing, because you snuck in a card game that's been sitting on your shelf, Mark, for, well, seemingly years, unplayed.
Yes.
And you forced Garth and I to play it. With mixed results, I have to say, but let's get into
it. Look, I thought it was worth a mention. So probably I'd say it might be 2 or 3 years ago now, I'd been wanting to play this game or one of the games in this series, which is the B-Movie Card Games by Z-Man Games, and I got one
from... Wait a minute. They did a series of games on that Jerry Seinfeld B-Movie. Was that, like...
No.
The movie wasn't that
good.
No.
So,
what is the deal with Airline Peanut?
So, this is about B-grade movies. And when I tell you the titles of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games in the series, I'm sure it'll become clear.
What?
They started off with Grave Robbers from Outer Space, followed by Cannibal Pygmies in the Jungle of Doom, Kung Fu Samurai on Giant Robot Island, Grave Robbers 2, Skippy's Revenge, Bell Bottom Badasses on the Mean Streets of Funk, Berserker Halflings from the Dungeons of Dragons, Scurvy Musketeers of the Spanish Main, Bushwhacking Varmints out of Sergio's Butt, Silent But Deadly Night, and Grave Robbers 3, Suburban Slashers from Sunnydale Street. So think of a movie trope.
All right. So
they've covered it.
So far, so good, Ed Wood. What are the games like?
Sure. So, look, I've got to give a shout-out to the designer, Stephen Tassie, because we're going here in Tassie. Yeah, okay. But I also want to mention...
Oh, I see. His surname's Tassie.
Correct.
And we're here in Tassie. And his surname is Tassie.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good, Mark.
So, Z-Man Games, just a little history lesson here for
and
you
And we're
young
here
kids.
In Tassie.
Yep.
And his surname, what was his surname again?
Has he finished yet, Carl?
Okay.
So, for those of you young kids who haven't been around as some of us old fellas.
Or been to Tassie.
Z-Man got their start publishing a little CCG called Shadow Fist in 1999, but they really didn't become a big deal until they started releasing the B-Movie card games. And as I said, the first one came out in 2001. The one we played, Berserker Halflings from the Dungeons of Dragons, came out in 2005. And the last one came out in 2009. And of course, after that, or around about the 2005, 2006, Z-Man got hold of Agricola,
yep.
Pandemic, and a whole bunch of other big name games.
And they haven't put those into the B-grade movie card staple list, is that right?
Agricola, fun and farming with...
with no food. On
Brokeback Mountain. Yeah.
Who knows?
Anyway, and of course now Z-Man has been taken over by Philosophia, which then became F2Z, and then that got taken over by Asmodee. So anyway, in these B-movie games, you have... it's a card game, surprise, surprise, because the name is the B-movie card games. So you have six different types of cards. You have characters, locations, props, creatures, special effects, and the roll the credits cards, which, of course, is the end game. So it's all the tropes you would like from a particular movie. So in this one, obviously, we had the far too pretty elf. We had chainmail bikini. We had a lecherous religious official, a surly dwarf, the monster who turns out to be just misunderstood, and even the unique but highly unrealistic weapon. We had cards like that. And so what you're doing is you have your character, you play a location, you can add props to your character, so you're making your own little movie, but then this is where it becomes more like a game and less like a, oh, that'd be a good idea for a movie. Your opposition, your opponents can play monsters to attack your character. Now, your character has an attack, defensive strength. Some of the props will increase the defensive strength. Some of the locations will increase or decrease the defensive strength. And then the special effects cards are like interrupts. So they do things like, oh, you thought you were playing that card, but I'm going to double it or half it or do this or do that. And it goes on like that.
Is it fun?
Well... let's just talk about the art for a second, okay?
Actually, look, the art's awful. Let's just put it there. The design of the cards is awful. The whole thing looks horribly dated. It looks like it's some wash-up from the 1980s, but it only came out in 2005. It looks horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the worst game I've ever played.
No? Was that Ashes with four players?
I don't want to even go there with you. Don't at me, bro.
I hope you listen to that, Mark. Ashes with four players.
Don't do it. Even at me.
If only someone had said, when someone else said, we should play this with four players, if only someone had said, no, that's a bad idea, this is really a two-player game, and the other person had listened to that person. Anyway, I think we should move on.
Can I tell you what this B-movie card game reminded me of?
Is it Flux?
In a... parallel universe, this reminded me of Munchkin because okay. It's not mechanically similar, but it is pitched at the same kind of level. It's taking the Mickey out of whatever tropes,
sure.
What you know, the bits of genre fiction that you would care to.
Isn't that
to,
what B-movies already do?
Well, sure, okay, but you know, Sharknado, was it really extracting the urine, or did they just mess it up and make a bad movie that people just liked? By accident.
Well, haven't there been three or four of them?
Exactly. Yeah, wow. So in another world, this might have been the Munchkin that took off and, yep. and dominated the hobby.
Well, geez, they tried hard, didn't they, releasing how many versions? Nine or ten versions of yep. the same game
with
different art.
Like Munchkin, there are laughs to be had in it.
Yep.
But it's not much of a game.
You can combine them all together. So, you know, you could have Bushwhack and Varmins out of the Mean Streets of Funk with Dragons. But I think you'd get the same result as you do with Munchkins, which
exactly.
just actually dilutes the humour.
It just makes as much sense as yeah. having Star Munchkin versus Munchkin yeah. Foo. Yeah. yeah.
Look, I must admit, I probably like this a little bit better than Munchkins. The art is very dated, and look, if they ever did a re-release of these, why would you? But if they did, they'd want to apply some 21st century design sensibilities to it, that's for sure.
But look, it's a fine idea, and this is actually a little bit of a gap in the hobby, because I've not found a good game about making movies, right? Because making movies, I mean, you referenced the Oscars at the start of the show, Garth. It's a fascinating area, right? And you've had online things like the Hollywood Stock Exchange, for yes. example, or trying to get a film deal together with the right star and the right script in a genre that you love, or what the rating's going to be and what the test audience says. I think that's a really ripe theme.
Yeah, I think there was a game like that that probably came out about a similar time, but it might have been a bit of a Euro-y type game in a time where those games weren't as well known, in particularly in the American market, and I think it didn't really go anywhere.
I'm just saying that I haven't found a game that combines all of that in a winning combination yet.
Yep.
This is almost that kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with the idea, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I mean, in its defence, slightly, I think it did play a little bit quicker than Munchkin, although we did only play with a couple of players, and it does suffer from that. Oh, how many cards can I play it? Oh, now I've run out of ideas, so the game's
over. It was fun. It was funny.
Yeah,
you know, there were good. It's good. Some laughs. Good laughs. Yeah.
So can we stop talking about it now?
Just thought it was worth a mention,
and we've got one. We've done the mention.
Sure. All right. So all something right. else that's worth a mention
is
some upcoming changes.
Yes. Well, if you want to get more of this kind of scintillating, insightful conversation about the board and card and RPG and tabletop gaming hobby in general, what we talk about here on The Dice Men Cometh, well, we are trying to basically step things up a gear. We're probably from next week's show, I think you'll start to hear maybe a few changes in the show. We're going to be bringing on board some sponsors, and to basically try and get a little bit of backing for the show, and to try and help grow the show. And look, listeners, when we do the show live on Edge Radio, we'll hear that change, and also listeners when they download the podcast and subscribe through iTunes or what have you, will also hear probably even more changes, because we do edit up the show and, you know, add little bits in
And remove when we have to.
Occasionally take little bits out when we have to as well. And, Mark, let's just move on.
Yeah, let's not go there.
And, look, I guess I just wanted to say, you know, flag that's coming up, but it's all with good purpose, because we have a wonderful little show here with some very, very dedicated fans who are kind enough to spend 45 minutes to an hour listening to us each week, and we want to basically help take that show to more people around Australia in particular. And we feel like we're starting to make some really good connections and got good relationships with people in the local Australian gaming industry. And we want to get out and meet more people, but that's going to cost us money, because we're here in Hobart and we need to travel to other parts of the country to do it. So that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, and I think you should be assured that whatever we do, that it'll be done in the Dice Men way. So,
which is to say half-assed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not going to get dry reads of copy that are going to bore you to sleep. Absolutely not.
No, we're trying to do things in an entertaining and engaging way. Yeah. So, look, that's just to flag that.
Yeah, and I think it's a really exciting time. I really am excited about what the next weeks and months are going to sort of present for everyone involved in this show, and that clearly includes the four of us who present it, the lovely listeners who are out there who, as you say, spend time with us every single week, which is fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to a little change here or there.
And if you are looking for a way that you can support the Dice Men, the best thing that you can do, for now anyway, is get yourself onto iTunes and give us a review. Now, the way the iTunes algorithm seems to work, courtesy of Apple Inc., is that it's really the 5-star reviews that get you up in the mentions, isn't it? So, look, even if you just like us a little bit, can you just cut us some slack and give us a 5-star review, please?
And of course,
on iTunes.
The other way to help us is to tell your friends. If you've got a board gaming group and they don't listen to us, please tell your friends. Now, we're going to come back in a moment and talk all about Kickstarter, but before we go to a break, I will just say,
yep,
I'm excited that all of the Aussie Kickstarters that we spoke about recently, Kingdom of Air, Kingmaker, Rain, Judgment, Alas for the Awful Sea, to name four, all got up and got funded, which is fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Of course, it was because the fact that, you know, millions of people listen to our show and take our advice for everything they do in gaming. Now, we don't have any significant Aussie Kickstarter projects up at the moment, but there's some coming soon. But of course, every now and again, we talk about Kickstarter projects from the rest of the world. We'll come back and do that in just a moment.
The Strangers Lay and the Lowdowns, Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. The Dice Men Cometh talking tabletop games. Garth, can you explain to me just who or what or where is a Gloomhaven? Because the internet's our corner of the internet's exploding about this Gloomhaven game.
Are you the only person who doesn't know what this is?
Well, Yes, maybe.
Make it quick.
All right, so 30 seconds or less. Gloomhaven is RPG in a box. It is a legacy-style dungeon-delving game with unlockable characters.
It's Descent.
No, it's an RPG in a box.
It's Descent.
There are characters you cannot unlock because each of you plays a whole bunch of mercenaries. You are not a, in a friendly bunch of people teaming up. You are each in it for your own selfish
it's
reasons.
It's Descent Legacy.
And you can retire your character
Why
once they get to a level.
Why can't you just play Dungeons and Dragons instead if that's what you
because
want to play?
Because this box is like the size of a case of beer. If that case was on steroids, it's really, really big. And it's been out for one maybe 2 months.
It was a Kickstarter. It's only just been delivered.
Incredibly successful Kickstarter. It was on the number one most anticipated games list for almost everybody for 2017. And I noticed when I looked at it today, because I have got a copy coming eventually.
Oh, okay.
I do, guys. It is already number six in the thematic list of Board Game Geek of all time. And this game has been out for no time whatsoever.
You owe Neil from Polymorph Games big time, because the fact that he reached out and said, look, would you like me to put these one of these aside because they're going fast?
Yes. Apparently, worldwide pre-orders, 25,000. Number of copies produced, 2,000.
Jeez. Massive, massive box.
Enormous.
Weighs a lot.
Yes.
Coming from China.
It weighs a lot wherever it comes from.
Via, you know, wherever it has to come from. How much would you expect to pay?
$180-$200.
Okay, speaking of Kickstarters.
We've got so much happening on Kickstarter. And look, Garth, I got to say, I just keep getting these bing, bing, bing in my email box saying, Garth is backed. Garth is backed. So,
well, you know how I'm filling in for Leon tonight?
Yes.
I'm taking that to all aspects of my life.
I'm actually not allowed to back Kickstarters at the moment because I backed the Necro Boomicon Two Rooms and a Boom expansion and Black Orchestra by accident.
Which I really don't think.
So I really hope you're not going to list anything that sounds good, Mark.
No, of course, these are all bad. Don't buy any of these. So, Garth,
don't tell me that.
You have signed up, Garth, for Elder Dice.
I have.
Cthulhu-themed dice in beautiful little magnetic-latched boxes, three different coloured sets, only $19 plus around $12 shipping to Australia. It's pretty cheap, and they look really nice.
They do, and that little book box that they come
the
in.
The magnetic latch thing just works really well. Look, it's only just really launched. It's still got 26 days to go. Already 160% funded. And Garth, also food truck champion.
I know, I am.
Although, look, it sold me as soon as it said a Glory to Rome style game. So it's basically Glory to Rome, but with competing food trucks. Again, $20 plus $12 shipping, and the art looks really nice on this. The player boards, the tokens, it all looks really sweet. Still got 13 days to go, already 170% funded.
If you have a game called Food Truck Champion and you are not driving a little Matchbox food truck around, or like a, what was that Western game where you robbed
Colt
the stagecoach?
Express.
Colt Express.
Yep.
A cardboard three-dimensional stagecoach that you were robbing. Surely Food Truck Champion has got to look like that.
Well, the funny thing is there was another food truck-themed game which just finished, which also was way oversubscribed, and that one looks really, really ordinary, but it made thousands, and all I can think is people got the two confused, perhaps.
Bloody half-assed hipsters.
We mentioned Ryan Lockett with Red Raven Games. He's got Empires of the Void 2. Now, it's not just the second edition. It's actually a whole new version. They've made quite a few changes of this 4X game. In fact, the changes are so significant that they decided not to call it 2.0, but 2 as in the movie. Look, it's very popular.
2
it's,
as in the movie?
As in,
what, the movie
know,
2?
The second.
Or you mean as well?
As in Star Wars 2?
Empires of the Void
2.
As well.
Yes. It's still got 22 days to go, and it's funded 560%.
I have a sneaking suspicion this will be compatible with Above and Below.
Leon's back, so we'll,
it's certainly got the same art.
We will get to check it out. Now, I mentioned last time I did a Kickstarter update, I mentioned Thunderstone Quest, because they had a little pre-Kickstarter sort of pledge drive to get up some of the social media miles.
And you got your thunder pants in a thunder twist about Thunderstone, didn't you? Because you were all about Thunderstone back in the day.
I was, and I haven't backed this, but Garth... Guess what? Garth has backed it.
I really hope Joe doesn't listen to this. She doesn't know how many credit card bills we're going to have soon.
Look, but this Thunderstone Quest, probably because we talked about it before it launched, it was funded in something ridiculous like the couple of hours, anything. It's already up to 570%, still with 22 days to go. The stretch goals are just rolling out and rolling out and rolling out.
Yeah, look, there's probably only every 2 days, I reckon, I'm getting, you know, another update from them about another stretch goal or success or something that is really exciting.
So Thunderstone was, of course, the first game to rip off Dominion.
No, the best game to rip off Dominion.
And is this significantly any different? I mean,
I don't want to go into it now. We'll talk about it another time. We'll talk about it when Garth gets the game, but I've just got so much to cover, Trent. So I am a sucker for the pirate theme, and the Pirate Republic looks like another great pirate game. It's actually the second time it's been on Kickstarter. It didn't fund last time, but they have got lots of beautiful components, of course, and you can get the deluxe version, $54 for the standard version, $79 for the deluxe, with metal ship minis. And it's only $15 shipping. Again, it's just started with only 27 days to go, 160% funded. It looks really nice.
The little spiel there on the Kickstarter page is saying if you like Mage Knight and Dead of Winter with a pirate theme, give that a go. I mean, that sold me right there. The only pirate game...
Those games are not at all alike.
I just thought, this is a person who's played two games.
Okay.
And they liked both of them, and now they played a third game.
The only pirate game we have in our collection of note is Merchants and Marauders. And look, we need to get back to that at some point, but it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, so. I mean, I love a good pirate game. I also love a good dice worker placement game set in a post-apocalyptic future where robotanists are terraforming gardens.
Yeah, who doesn't love that?
This is The Last Garden. It's $35. It's only $4 shipping. It does look really nice. It has a bit of a mystic veil look to it.
What the hell is a robotanist?
They're robot.
Oh, a botanist that's a robot. Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. And whatever planet they're terraforming, which is probably not Mars, is gonna fear their robotany skills, I'm sure. But let's move on.
Yes.
Now, here is a game that if ever you wanted to back a Kickstarter, that I recommend,
but
back this game. Crossroads of Heroes from Hong Kong. It's ancient martial arts themed card game, and this would have to have some of the most beautiful art I have ever seen in a card game.
High praise indeed.
It's only $50, although for us here in Australia it is $27 for shipping, which I think is a pity, but it looks amazing, and it actually looks like it's going to have some depth of gameplay with talking about these different styles of martial arts, and you develop your skills, and then you go out into the world and practice and do good, and I just can't say enough about the art. It is an amazing-looking game. Still 28 days to go. It's only 55% funded after the first 2 days, so I really hope it's get up because it looks amazing.
I've got a thing for the Japanese theme, Mark. That might call me.
Yeah, look, as I said, it is one of the most beautiful games I've seen in a long, long time. This one's not, but I'm going to mention it anyway. It's a dice building game, and you're manipulating your dice. It's a battling game with a Nordic theme, and it did remind me a bit of, remember, Ragnarol?
Yes.
Which I don't know if it ever even has seen the light of day, Ragnarol. But anyway, this has more Euro sensibilities, where you're Nordic Viking-y type people. You're rolling a whole bunch of dice, and then you're with funny glyphs on them, and then you're using your dice to manipulate other dice to do other special things. Looks really interesting.
So this is the one called Glyph.
Glyph, that's the one. Yes, sorry. So that's Glyph. Now, talk about madness come to fruition. This game is called The Grid Game. I'm sure I've locked you in with that great pitch.
Yes.
It's dominoes reinvented. They're hexagons with colours instead of rectangles with pips.
Okay.
But it's raised over $140,000, 700% funded. Come on, people. They don't know the shipping costs. It looks more like a jigsaw, except Wired magazine, we all know them, said it's more addictive than Candy Crush.
Right. This looks like exactly the sort of thing that Wired would want to back because it has that minimalist futuristic design element.
It looks like the tiles in my bathroom.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, style over substance.
Move on.
Thank you, Wired.com.
Okay, now this one, I'm blowing my mind sort of about this game.
Ooh.
It's called Dinosaur Island.
Oh, here we go.
It's by Pandasaurus.
Oh, Pandasaurus, the company that brought back Tammany Hall.
Yeah, okay. And quite a few others.
So here's my pitch, gents. It's co-designed by John Gilmore of Dead of Winter and Brian Lewis of Titans of Industry. Think you're building a Jurassic World.
Sure.
Competing against other Jurassic Worlds.
What could possibly go wrong?
With worker placement, dino DNA manipulation.
Someone should make a movie like this.
Theme park rides.
And then another movie.
And all with the what looks like the complexity of something like The Gallerist.
And then a lunchbox and a series of action figures.
And a movie about that too, but with Lego.
Can I finish?
No.
With scalable game length from 60 minutes to 2.5 hours.
Sounds like Ashes Rise of the Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a moment.
Now, if I haven't got you there, think of all that in a garish 90s bubblegum colours scheme.
Yeah, it's awful pastel colours, isn't it?
Now, I've got one thing to say, Pandasaurus. Get on the phone to Ian O'Toole before this finishes, for goodness sake, because apart from the colouring of this, this game looks totally fascinating. Gamers have responded with their cash in a big way. It's 1,100% funded, and it's not just like a tiny funding goal they're after.
No, it's almost hit $185,000.
Still
so it's
got 22 days to go. Now, there's no gameplay videos up or review videos, which is interesting. However, they do say there is a Rado and a Man versus Meeple video coming soon.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'll be completely objective and give a true and honest opinion.
Of course, there's the normal version and there's the deluxe version. Maybe it's got live dino eggs.
I do like the look that seems to be you roll dice and then get to do some actions based on the dice faces you roll.
The dice are the dino DNA bits that you build into dinosaurs. Oh, my God.
Haven't put any money where your mouth is yet, Mark.
It's only $20 shipping as well, and there's a lot in this. Well, I want to see Man versus Meeple because, you know, they know how to produce a video. But that's true. They do know how to produce. Super interesting.
All right, move on, please.
Look, couple more quick ones. Companion's Tale. It's a cooperative storytelling game with cards where everyone has a unique role each turn that changes. You're telling the hero's tale, but none of you are the hero. So one person is the hero's companion, one is the law keeper, one is a witness, one is the cartographer, one the historian, and one the biographer. And you're making a map as you play. You're drawing it. You're each telling your different part of the story. It sounds a bit like Fiasco, but without the swearing and double-crossing.
I think it'll still have that.
if we played it, of course. The PDF, which, you could run this with a PDF, is only 16. The physical copy is only 36. It's 300% funded.
So it's an RPG.
Well, no, it's marketed as a card game. But it's really a storytelling game that has some cards to set it up. Don't ask any more because you need to look it up. And I've got more to go, but it's worth a look. If I said to you, Terminator, the official board game, of course you'd go, what? Hasn't there been another official board game? This is by Space Goat Productions. They also did Evil Dead 2, the official board game. So it's the game of the original Terminator movie with minis. It's got two boards, one in 1984 and one in 2029. Things you do on the 1984 board will affect 2029. Look, it promises a lot. I don't know if it can deliver. $60 for the base level, but $35 of shipping. It's got a billion expansions. But did I mention you can have a mini of Kyle Reese or the T-800 or Sarah Connor?
I think they were expecting this to do a hell of a lot better by the number of stretch goals that are still very much locked.
And look, very finally, Urban Tribes. It was on Kickstarter before as Redneck Invasion. It did win first place at the 2016 KublaCon Game Design Contest and is spoken of in very, very high terms. But it's basically a midweight tile-laying area-controlled board game where you have one of four factions, hipsters, soccer mums and dads, preppies and rednecks vying for control of a town. It's $49 with $28 shipping. I don't know. And they're talking about it being co-opetition, where you've got cooperation competition. Yeah.
All right, so Mark.
That's all I've got.
Ogunwell.
Wow.
But Trent, let me just put a little circle around the 7th of March for you in your calendar.
Oh.
Because that's the day where Cool Media Not puts Rising Sun on Kickstarter.
Speaking of Japanese themed games.
Exactly.
Oh.
So that's where you'll put all your money.
The just latest from Eric Lang. Oh, all right. That's a heap of stuff on Kickstarter. It's almost like we're in the middle of a tabletop gaming renaissance. Or perhaps the market on Kickstarter is just massively bloated and saturated and ripe for failure.
And for people who are here in Hobart, don't forget this weekend, AICon. It's Tasmania's largest pop culture festival, bringing together video, tabletop and card game enthusiasts and all those cosplayers, anime lovers, manga fans.
AICon is a great, great event. It's probably the most successful pop culture event that we have here in Tassie. And the fact that those guys have managed to keep it kicking on from our small population base.
Absolutely.
And really made it a feature of the annual calendar down here. Props to them.
Exactly. Wonderful. It's happening this Saturday, Sunday at the Rest Point Convention Centre.
So by the time this podcast comes out, it probably would have already...
No, but all the taxi drivers here in Hobart, they'll tell their friends who'll tell their friends who'll tell their friends who'll get dressed up.
Jump on the website and check out the photos and stuff for AICon, and you can maybe get down here next year for it.
So that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. All right. This has been the Dice Men Cometh on Each Radio 99.3 FM. Trent, Mark and Garth, signing off.
Bye.
See ya.
I always thought it was pronounced Ryan Lolcat, and I refuse to pronounce it any other way. So there, deal with it. I'm going to go pass out now.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.